I wanted to thank you all for allowing me and my family to take a week off and get some things done that we needed to do. Brother Dan is right. Pastor Dan, we all are going through it. I woke up Friday, went to a birthday party for one of Emily's friends and woke up Saturday morning with food poisoning. And so felt like horrible. And so then I got here this morning and realized that I had forgotten my new glasses. And so luckily I have a backup pair in my office. So please bear with me. If you see my head bobble a little bit, it is because I'm trying to find the sweet spot in these glasses, which are an older pair. But in the text that Pastor Dan just read, Paul is praying for the Christians that they would be filled with Spirit-given knowledge of God's will so they would live worthily of the Lord, bearing fruit and growing in knowledge, enduring by God's power, and giving thanks. Because Christ has delivered us from darkness and redeemed us by His blood. This is the main point of the text. The action that we are to do as Christians is pursue this Spirit-filled knowledge of God's will. Let that knowledge shape how we live, how we walk worthy, and rely on Christ's power for endurance and live thankful witness to the gospel. Let us pray. Lord God, Father of mercies and God of all consolation, we come before you now asking that the eyes of our hearts be open. Fill us by your Spirit with the knowledge of your will. Teach us to walk worthy of Jesus Christ. Strengthen us with power for patience and joy. Speak your good news to those who still sit in the darkness. And by your Son's blood, grant forgiveness to all who repent and believe. Bless your word for us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul has made the introduction as we go through this book of Colossians. Paul has made the introduction, and now he is going to pray. After this prayer, Dan's going to talk about the problem that Paul is dealing with the Colossians people, but right now he's going to spend some time praying for them. Verse 9, he is praying that they are filled with the knowledge of God's will. Paul begins by telling Colossians what he prays for, not prosperity, not personal ease, but they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, accompanied by all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, folks, we've got an epidemic in our modern churches. We've got folks out there that want to pray for health and wealth gospel. Health and wealth, that's all they're concerned about is health and wealth. And that's just simply not what he's praying for here. We need to be prayed rather that we are filled with this knowledge and wisdom of the Holy Spirit of God. The verb filled pictures a ship full of cargo or a lamp full of oil. It is more than mere intellectual assent, but a fullness that comes from the Spirit and shapes the heart and life. As I talked to the young people today in the Sunday school class, who's the most important person in this church? And the answer better be Jesus Christ. That is who we are to be modeled after. This knowledge is a practical one. It is a knowledge that tells you what God wants you to be and do. A moral, spiritual grasp of God's purpose. What's God's purpose in your life? Are you seeking His will in your life. Paul understands that true Christian living is not accidental. It is a result of being saturated with the knowledge of God and God's will by the Spirit. Boy, I wish I'd have learned that when I was a young Christian. Seeking God's will diligently. Seeking God's will purposefully in my life. Verse 10, Paul is saying that we need to walk worthy and be fruitful with an increase of knowledge. Here, Paul ties knowledge to our conduct. To be filled with the knowledge of his will has a purposeful clause, that ye may be worthy to walk with the Lord. The Greek word for walk pictures a daily conduct, how you move through life. Worthy points to the congruence with Christ's character. Your life should fit the Lord you serve. How is your witness? How does it look to come in here on Sunday morning if Saturday night before you've been down at the honky-tonk and been tipping them back? I've explained this to the young people, and you all get it. As Christians, we live our life in a fishbowl. People are watching all the time. Right, wrong, or indifferent, they are going to judge. They are going to see what we do. Does our walk and talk match? So does it. So does it. Three marks Paul names. Pleasing, a life that seeks to please God. We are to please God. Now, I'm at the point of my life, and I don't know what the magic number is, if it's 40 or 50 or 30 or whatever it is. I don't care what other people think. I'm over it. It's past 30? I don't care what other people think. I don't care what other people say. I am only concerned about what my Savior thinks. Is that the filter? Is that the lens that we are living our life through? Secondly, fruitful, good works that are visibly bless others. And finally, an increase in knowledge, a growth in understanding of God. Knowledge leads to worshipful living and fruit, but growth in knowledge is ongoing. The Christian life is both ethical and intellectual, head and hands united by the heart. One of the things that I vowed to myself is to continue to grow and be better. So now I'm now in the process of taking some additional classes, finishing up some things, continuing to grow. Those same steps can be taken by you. Deliberately setting aside time to have communication with our Heavenly Father. Setting aside time purposefully to read the Word of God. Well, Pastor, I ain't got time for that. You better make time. I'm sure that each one of us have got something that we can give up. An hour or half an hour or so of TV or video games or computer or TikTok, whatever it may be? How about we get off the toxic social media for a little bit? Spend some time with somebody who truly loves and cares about us. Verse 11. Paul talks about being strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Paul does not leave us with the demand to be fruitful as if we can do it in our own strength, because we can't. The source of endurance and right living is God's power. Strengthened with all might reminds us that perseverance and patience and joy are gifts from God's glorious power. The Christian is called to active, ongoing dependence. We labor, but He strengthens us. Spiritual maturity is not self-help, it is spirit help. Are you dependent on Jesus Christ? Are you dependent on Jesus Christ? And the answer is yes. It should be yes. Saturday morning, I woke up like Laura had drove over me with a car. I couldn't get comfortable. I tried laying in the bed. And then I tried sitting in a recliner. And then I tried laying down. But my lap dog decided to lay on top of me. So that didn't work. My wife looks at me and she says to me, "James, you probably need to shoot Dan a text or an email or call him or something, let him know that so he's ready." "Well, why is that?" "You look awful." "Well, thank you." I said, "I'm not worried about it. God's got this. It's going to take a little bit more than food poisoning to keep me from behind the pulpit." Are we dependent on Him for everything? Little and big. Are we dependent on Him for everything? Verse 12, Paul says, "Give thanks, made to meet to be partakers." Gratitude is the natural posture of those who have been rescued. You ever been in a bad way? You ever been jammed up? And you're waiting on the Calvary to arrive? And you're grateful? Oh, so grateful when they show up. Al-Qaim, Iraq. We were working on a fire base. Got a call. It was a Marine fire base. The sergeant came down and said, "BU1, we got a problem." "What is it?" "The insurgents have knocked over the T-barriers and have blocked the road, and we can't get the supplies and the stuff in. Like, our supplies and our food and our stuff that we need. Can you fix it?" "Sure." "Okay. Now, we can't send anybody out there with you because all of our vehicles are gone." "Okay." The Navy Seabees are very bottom of the food chain. Some of the equipment that we used was still from Korea and Vietnam. So I crawled into a 12,000-pound forklift with a body armor, my body armor, and an M16 rifle. And out the gate I go. They're like, hey, we're going to try to send you some help. Whatever you do, do it quickly. So I'm out there, and they had knocked over these great big T barriers, and I'm using this forklift, and I'm setting them back up, and I get the first one back up, and I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus. Got the first one up. This is looking good. I got three more to go. And I check, and the only functioning thing on this 12,000-pound forklift, it has got a rear view mirror that's about this big. Why you need something that big? Whatever. And I look up over in the mirror, and here come the insurgents on the road. All right. Come on, Lord, you got this. Pick up the next T barrier. I get down to the third one. And here, they're getting closer. And the best thing I can do is turn around and try to hit them with this forklift. I finally get the fourth one up, and I want to get back to base as quickly as I can. And here, all of a sudden, all these vehicles stop, and they start backing up. And I look over the corner, and the Marines had sent three tanks over the hill. The cavalry had arrived, and I was never so thankful in my life to see those guys on station. And there's nothing, no better feeling in your life to be escorted back to a fire base by three tanks. We have been rescued by Jesus Christ. We deserve to die. We deserve a painful death. We deserve hell. But because of Jesus Christ and our belief in Him, we have the promise of heaven. Because the Father has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God not only declares us heirs, He makes us fit for that inheritance. That making fit is a gracious and transforming work, justification and sanctification in one divine economy. Partaking the inheritance is both present. We taste the first fruits today, and the future. We are in the full consummation that waits. And what a glorious day that will be when Jesus comes back to get His people. In verses 13 and 14, Paul says that we are delivered, translated, and redeemed. Here Paul gives the gospel in a capsule. God delivered us from the power of darkness and translated, moved us into the kingdom of the Son. In who we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The redemption. This is a language of a ransom and purchase. Christ, who shed His blood, has paid the price. The penalty for sin is removed. The power of darkness is broken. This is the foundation, our new status, our present power to live, and our future hope all rest on what Christ has accomplished. A friend told me about his grandmother's famous church potluck Jell-O. The recipe said to dissolve 2 packets of gelatin in warm water. And her grandson, a literalist at age 9, thought dissolve meant mix the packet into the cold water. When Grandma tasted the salad, she nearly spit it out. The gelatin hadn't set. It was an undifferentiated, soggy mess. The grandson announced with confidence, "I followed the instructions." Grandma, wiping tears of laughter and mild horror from her eyes, replied, "You read the words, but you didn't do the work needed to make it turn into a salad." Paul's prayer in Colossians is addressing the same problem. You can read the words, know God's will, and think you've done the job, but a Christian's life requires the work of the Spirit to make that knowledge real. To set the gelatin so it becomes a salad. Knowledge without spiritual work produces a faith that looks confident on the surface but collapses under the heat. We need God to fill us, to do the work that turns knowledge into life. Two theological truths anchor Paul's petition and our hope. The primacy of the Spirit in Christian life. The knowledge of His will comes with spiritual wisdom. That isn't something human thinking can manufacture. It is the Spirit's gift. When we read Scripture, we not only are asked for information, but also illumination for the Spirit to make God's will present and persuasive to our hearts. Verses 13 and 14 are not an afterthought, they are the foundation. We are called to walk worthy because we have been delivered and redeemed. The gospel is not the only way to be forgiven. It is the reason to live differently. Forgiveness changes status and changes behavior, but only as grace gets real in us. Do you believe? Well, this is how we live this out. First of all, pray like Paul. The first step is prayer. We do not cease to pray for you. It is estimated that Paul had been praying for the Colossae church about 10 years. How often do we get somebody or something on our prayer list and we pray for them a couple of times and God doesn't do anything and they fall off? We're not in charge of what God does. We are commanded to pray. There is no timetable on that. We pray and we pray and we pray and then we continue to pray. If you want to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, start by praying for it. For yourself, for your family, for our church. Ask God to open your mind to His truth and make the truth operative in your choices. You need to cultivate a Spirit-fed knowledge. Read scripturals prayerfully. Dr. Dan Griffin went over this on one Thursday, talking about going through and picking a scripture out, writing that piece of scripture down on a 3x5 card, and in the course of the day, you pull that scripture out, and you study that scripture, and you meditate on that scripture, and you pray on that scripture. Be involved in a small group, a Bible study. Memorize scripture. But remember, acquisition of facts without the Spirit's filling is like that potluck jello. It won't set into life. We need to practice walking worthy. Make concrete choices that reflect Christ. Pursue holiness in our speech. Generosity with money and our time, faithfulness in marriage and work, love for our neighbor. Ask, will this action please the Lord? Be intentional about small daily acts of obedience. They accumulate into a life that pleases God. It says that you've got to do a habit for about 7 weeks. You do it with some consistency for 7 weeks, and then it becomes habitual. I can't think of a better habit than asking the Lord God to be Spirit-filled. Expect and rely on God's power. When endurance and patience are required, don't assume it's only willpower. Pray for strength. Remember that struggles can be sanctifying. God's glorious power works in weakness. Real spiritual growth comes from the trials. You can be a people of gratitude. Verse 12 makes that thanksgiving a mark of a people of light. If you're tempted to grumble, rehearse what God has done. Thankfulness reorients the heart from what we lack to the riches what we have in Christ. You want to grumble, you want to complain, you want a bone, you better take a look at that cross. You better reflect about what Jesus Christ did for us. I'm so thankful and so grateful and so blessed that we're going to be doing the Lord's Supper every single Sunday so we can remember what Jesus Christ did for us. Live and speak the gospel. If God delivered you from darkness and redeemed you through Christ's blood, you have news to tell. Your life of gratitude, your changed conduct, your endurance, these are gospel witnesses. Share how Christ rescued you, not as a legalistic checklist, but as a testimony of grace. Your testimony, your salvation moment is unique to you and you alone. You knew where you were at. You knew what you were like when God reached down and met you where you were at through Jesus Christ. If you want to walk worthy, set one weekly habit that evidences Christ in you. Perhaps invite someone over, serve at the food pantry, or put away an hour a week for scripture and prayer. If patience is hard for you, every time you feel irritation, speak a short prayer. Lord, by your power, give me patience now. Small, repeated acts of dependence train the soul. To those of you that feel distant from God, know that Paul's prayer reaches you. God delights to make you meet. He delights to change hearts. No past disobedience puts you beyond God's reach. The same gospel that delivers a thief on the cross is for you. Come, confess, and receive the forgiveness that is promised about in verse 14. To those who are settled and comfortable, beware of the temptation to be satisfied with superficial knowledge. Ask the Spirit to deepen your understanding. Growth is a lifetime call for all of us. At the heart of all of this is the cross. Verse 14 says it plainly, in Christ we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That means the penalty for your sins have been paid by Jesus. The power of darkness no longer has a rightful claim on you, and God has moved you into Christ's kingdom. That is the ground for every walk-worthy command. It is grace that makes obedience not merely possible, but also joyful. I think sometimes we forget the joy of the Lord. We like to grumble. We like to complain. I always to tell people, I can take the wine and I just don't want any sniveling. Think we have everything to be happy for. Folks, it's sad. On Friday night, we were talking about what happened with Charlie Kirk. It's not that I know where Charlie is. I know where he's at. I know where Phil Robertson's at. I know where all these people are at. What I'm concerned about is where you are going to go. Where are you going to be? What is your final destination? Because they are complete polar opposites. Either you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you have the promise of heaven, or you have rejected Him and your final destination is hell. There ain't no third direction. There ain't no purgatory. You can't buy your way in. Nobody can pray you out. You either in or you out. And that's a sense of urgency that we need to have as we're sharing the gospel. Time is growing short. We are not guaranteed tomorrow when the Lord Jesus comes back. What side of this are you going to be on? Are you going up? That's the only direction it really matters. Are you going up to meet your Savior? If you've not experienced this, if you cannot pinpoint a time when you personally trusted Christ for forgiveness, today is an invitation. The same Christ who has redeemed the Colossians has redemption for you. Repent and believe and come to the cross and find forgiveness and a newness of life. Would you pray quietly where you are? Ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will. Confess any area where you have resisted His call. Ask the Spirit's strength to walk worthy another day. If you need to talk to somebody, there will be that opportunity. I can guarantee you right now, myself, Pastor Dan, and other Pastor Dan, we don't have anything else better to do today than share Jesus Christ with you. We are a family, and this family helps one another grow. Brothers and sisters, Paul's prayer is our pattern. Relentless prayer for Spirit-given knowledge, practical growth that leads to right living, and reliance on Christ's power. Because it is He who has delivered us and redeemed us. Do not be content with a superficial faith that only knows words. Press into a faith that changes your path daily. Let the gospel shape your mind, power your patience, and fill you with grateful joy. Stand and live as those who were once in darkness, but now stand in the light of Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your riches and grace. Thank You for sending Your Son to redeem us by His blood, and for the Spirit who fills us with knowledge and wisdom. Make us people who not only learn Your will, but live it. Strengthen us when we are weak. Give us patience in trials. Fill our lives with the fruit of good works. Use us to shine Your light into places of darkness and to proclaim the forgiveness found in Jesus. We pray these things, trusting in Christ our Lord. Amen.